Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is Halloween Day, 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Fred Walker is here with me. Mello is also over there. I'm going to turn the mic on. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks for hanging with us today. Now, it is Halloween. We have established a tradition, Fred and I. Hi, Fred, by the way.
Good morning,
doing,
Andy.
Doing well. He's wearing red today. Is that blood red?
It's blood red.
Blood red. Okay, cool. No need to fear Fred. Right, Dr. Fredenstein.
Hey, there you go. Also your neighbor, don't forget.
Fred, of course, you probably have heard his voice many times on the radio. He is represents InfoWest. He's, well, you like the official radio voice of InfoWest now?
Is that... Oh, I've got the face for radio, is what they tell me.
And Fred and I have become friends. We've been friends for several years now. Fred, I was realizing I don't know a whole lot. So here's one of the things that, kind of is fascinating to me. Say you move into a neighborhood, and we've been in our neighborhood 5 years. Mm-hmm. People know us as my wife and I, Andy and Shelley, right? And they remember when we first moved in, our two daughters were still at home. Maybe just one. Anyway, they know us as parents of one or two daughters. That's mm-hmm. it. And you know, this older couple of empty nesters. And so I'm like, but wait, I have five kids. I raised three boys. My oldest son is a psychologist. And I mean, there's all these things that you don't know about me. And I realized that with Fred, I know you and your wife very well, uh-huh. but I don't know much else about you. Do you have kids?
Yeah, I have a couple of kids. We've got a daughter and a son, daughter and son-in-law and two grandkids up in Springfield.
Oh, you got grandbabies. Nice.
Yeah, that's where we went 1 year when we had to pre-record this one because we wanted to go do trick-or-treating with our grandkids up north
nice.
In Springfield.
Yeah.
And we have a son and his wife, and they live in Denver area. He went to ROTC here at the Dixie, and he continued to pursue that dream of flying, and now he just got his wings with United Airlines,
nice.
And he becomes he's first officer now, and he'll be doing the 737. So anyway, and he and his wife, we just found out recently that we're having another grandchild. They have their first, and he or she will find out sometime later.
Oh, we don't know yet.
Not yet. Okay. Sometime in November, actually, you know, that's coming next month.
Congratulations.
And that'll be in April. So we're excited to have a third grandchild for Diane and I. So
very cool.
We're excited. Yeah, we're very, very excited about our children.
That is cool.
And they still love to dress up and do trick-or-treating. We went to Denver for the last week, and they had a trunk-or-treat that evening. And so they were Pikachu. They were Ash and Pikachu from Pokemon.
I know
so
nothing about those.
So I don't know. Well, growing up with those kids that age, they love all that stuff. So got to catch them all.
Yeah. My kids were, my oldest was Barney, and then my next, Bob the Builder was big with my next two boys, It was Dora the Explorer for my daughter, so that's about all. Am I dating myself, Mello?
The bad thing is that I know those too.
Yeah,
that's what's making
but
me
you
sad.
Have 18 children,
oh,
so
I know.
It's okay. Actually, wouldn't you have seven, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, you've dressed up before too as well in your youth, and what were you when you were trick-or-treating days?
Honestly, don't remember a whole lot about those days. I'm trying to think.
Too much candy.
It was so long ago.
Unfortunately, it really was a long time ago. So when I've had a couple of surgeries. One of them on my neck. I had 1 year at Halloween. I had a neck brace because I had just had neck surgery.
Oh.
And so becoming Frankenstein was really easy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because I already had the accessories and stuff. I just did a little makeup and some stuff. And
a couple bolts in the side.
Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah. I was Frankenstein, and so it was kind of fun.
Nice.
Well, it's good to get to know you a little bit more, Fred.
No.
We hear your voice all the time on the radio, and I'm thinking, we need to know more about Fred, your neighbor.
There you go. Thank you.
Fred lives in Santa Clara, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Santa you and Mello are neighbors, kind of.
That's right.
Yep. So, we live near each other.
We do.
I know him.
Nice. Yep. Do either of you have Swiss heritage? Santa Clara is a Swiss town.
No, mine's all English, Wales.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mine too. We're probably cousins. We should be able to find my relatives around us.
That's right.
Family reunion over here on the Andy Griffin Show. Sure, why not?
It's all relative.
No pun intended.
Nice.
It's all relative, yeah. We have had a tradition of Fred on every Halloween for the last 4 years now. has come on and sing Monster Mash. And I was telling folks the other day, Fred, you and we were doing karaoke one time, and I saw that on the playlist, and I asked you, did you Monster Mash? You, oh, yeah, that's one of my songs. That's one of them I do. I'm like, really? And I believe that at that moment, you actually sang that song, and I was like, wow, that's really good. Let's get him on the radio. And you were kind of like, are you sure about that? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And you're like, okay. So you did it.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, put it out there. It's all for fun, and especially good. This time of year. Yeah. Halloween's a tradition for not only the young, but the older, too. We all have memories of what we did and the trick-or-treating days, and so it's always been a fun
time.
Some
of us can't remember them, but do you remember a specific costume one year that you were, like, pretty
proud
of?
I was younger. Oh, I was Popeye one time. I was beatnik back in the day. That was before the hippies.
Did you have cans of spinach and all that stuff?
I just had the costume you bought.
Okay.
You know, did that. And also, later on in life, I was, when we did things as a family, we got pictures set up with our family. I was Frankenstein. My wife was Bride of Frankenstein, and our little son is now a pilot. You know, he was Dracula. Nice. And then one time, the four of us, since it was four in our family, we did Scooby-Doo. So it was Fred and Daphne and Velma.
Well, you had to be Fred then, right?
Well, actually,
you are Fred.
I was wondering who was going to do Fred, and they asked me, would you be Fred? And I go, sure. I'm Fred anyway. Might as well be Fred. So put a ascot on, and we did that. So,
nice.
It's always been fun. We enjoy doing those kinds of
things.
Did
you decorate your minivan to look like the Scooby-Mobile?
The
mystery machine. Yeah.
Mystery machine. That's right. And we had a dog, too. So we had Scooby-Doo, and we had a little border collie.
Oh, nice.
Scrappy-Doo, Scrappy. Good times.
Very, very cool. Well, I love Halloween for a lot of reasons because I had a neighbor, Fred, a few years ago who said, no, that's the devil's birthday. We don't celebrate Halloween. And I was like, come on, it's all in good fun. And yes, you can go too far. There are certain movies I don't like to watch because I think they dabble in the occult and some of that stuff that I'm not interested in. But for the most part, I think Halloween is just a good time a fun time for people to go out with their families and have a nice. And the added bonus is getting to know your neighbors a little bit.
That's true.
In modern America, you would be surprised how many people don't even know the last name of their, someone that lives two doors down or don't know anything about them, how many kids they have, whatever. And so that Halloween is one of the few things left that actually get us involved in our neighbors.
Our neighbors and the kids, and they can connect with the neighbors' kids as well. It's a great community event, I believe.
Block parties, and there aren't very many block parties anymore, it doesn't seem like. So.
Oh, there are. You just don't know where they are.
Well, not in my neighborhood. Last few neighborhoods I've lived in, there were no block parties. So.
Oh, Little Valley has an epic one if you can get in there. They like serve food. They have taquitos. They have like the whole nine yards. They have everything.
Is there is there segregation between pickle players and non-pickle players? Because I know there are people in Little Valley that complain about the pickleball noise. So.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So don't dress up as a pickleball player if you want to enjoy the
It was a thing for a while there. They had some controversy, as they say across the pond. They had some controversy about, the noise that they wanted the pickleball lights to be shut off earlier because they were trying to sleep on a weeknight, I don't know how to do it, pop or the doink or whatever the sound
the
pickleball makes.
And I have one across the street from my house, and I can hear it, like, if I go out on the front porch, but it doesn't bother me. I'm happy to have people out there playing.
And you can't hear it in the house?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think the complaints were from people who would sit on their back patio, late in the evening, perfect evening, like we have this time of year. They sit on their back patio, and then they would hear that noise, and they said it was ruining their tranquility.
Well, oops. I wonder if the Rock Yard ruins our tranquility next door, too. I don't know. There's a lot of things over there.
I kind of want to say, well, why did you move by pickleball courts if you don't like the noise of pickleball? I mean, you could have moved anywhere, right? Why did it have to be right there? I don't know.
I think they've added to those pickleball courts in their defense. I think they've multiplied those.
I think there's 30 over there
there's
now.
A lot over there.
Including a championship court, which has like stands around it, bleachers and stuff around it.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Fred, have you pickled?
Oh, yeah, I pickled. Yeah.
Have you pickled?
I enjoy pickleball. I used to do tennis years ago.
Yeah, that's kind of me. Yeah.
Less running around and getting wore out, so I can actually endure the pickleball for sure.
And for those who haven't played, and I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but pickleball is very much like kind of a cross between tennis and ping pong, if you will. Mm. It's much smaller than tennis, but you use a lot of the same motions and the same strategies as you do in tennis. And spin and things like that that really matter a lot in ping pong matter a lot in pickleball. The really good players, they don't ever hit the ball without some kind of spin on it. Sure. So very cool.
And yours is dripping with top spin.
I love spinning. I do.
I bet he pirouettes after too.
I do not pirouette.
Oh, come on.
Pirouette. I'm going to turn your mic off now, Mello. The pirouette comment was the last straw. All right, you ready to,
ready.
Do this?
Yeah,
all right, we're going to do.
Listen to little Boris Karloff, perhaps.
Yes. Now, this song was originally Boris Pickett, is the guy's name, right? And it was a surprise hit. I think that, you know, he put it out there as kind of a novelty song. The Weird Al kind of audience is what he was expecting, Dr. Demento people. Only it turned out kind of became the beloved theme of Halloween now.
Well, it did. So. And Bobby Boris Pickett actually went on to do other things, too.
Yeah,
he did Star Trek, so he was on Dr. Demento. He did quite a few things.
Now, I want to make sure when you sing, to make sure you're talking right into, or you're singing right into that mic. We don't want to lose any of your audio.
All righty.
And that's a much better. Yes, you sound fantastic. Mello, I don't believe was here last year when we did this, right?
No, I haven't seen this live. I'm excited. I get a front row spot.
This will be really, really cool.
Dedicated to you.
All right. Well, this is it. The Bobby Boris Pickett's version of the Monster Mash as sung by Fred Walker.
And Andy
Griffin. I have like one line.
That's you do?
Like, yeah.
Let's wait for
it. All right. Let's do it. Here we go.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from its slab began to arise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. He did the monster mash from my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking onward, digging the sounds. Igor unchained, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. They played the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. He opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash. It's now the monster mash. It's a graveyard smash. It's caught on in a flash. It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drax a part of the band. And my monster mash, it's a hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tear the forest, sends you. Then you can monster mash. And do my graveyard smash. You'll catch on in a flash. Then you can monster mash.
That's good.
Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
That's good.
There it is, folks. The live version of the Monster Mash with Fred Walker. Fred, fantastic job.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun.
How much practice do you put into that? Is that when you you work on to make sure you get, because you're live on the radio. It's got to be perfect, right? But you were perfect. It was amazing.
Well, I enjoy that. It's when a little kid, as you grow up, it kind of things stick in your mind, like the old songs that you like to do. And of course, I like to feel creative. And
he was in character, folks. You should have seen Mello. You could see him. He was Bobby Boris Pickett for just about 4 minutes. So.
Sometime, check it out. Dick Clark, American Bandstand. Google that. See the one that he's on there. Actually, he's wearing a white, a shirt and tie and jacket because they can't really dress up. But he's got the facial expressions. Bobby Boris Pickett does a great job. I always enjoy that one as well. But
good stuff. Yeah. Now, when I was telling people that about, we had done some karaoke and stuff, and everybody was like, wait, you do karaoke? And I'm like, yeah, I like to sing karaoke occasionally. I have a couple of guilty pleasure songs that I will sing that folks listening to the show would go, you sing that? What? So I'm not going to mention what those are, but tell me about karaoke a little bit. Now, you used to have Karaoke Brothers with Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that was with Kevin Fry.
With Kevin, okay.
Yeah, and they did a podcast, different things. I would actually do a couple things with Tyler. We did Old Folks Home. We would sing, we did a country Christmas down at the South Gate one time. We dressed up, had the cowboy hats, and we'd do things like that. It was fun. and then we did a diner one time for another Old Folks Home that we would go down and dress up and do the 50s and 60s songs together and stuff. And now he's moved. He's back towards the Nashville area, so we don't get together.
He's in the real cowboy country.
He's in real cowboy country.
So do you get to karaoke much anymore, Fred?
No, I don't. I haven't done the whole lot with that.
Did Tyler have all the equipment? Was that his stuff?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he had.
We all need to pool our money together and get us a real nice karaoke machine and get her done.
Yeah, last time we did was kind of the for the Chamber, the Sunshiners. We get together and do those parties up there in Diamond Valley. That was fun.
We did, one time I went to a birthday party, they had a karaoke machine, and I did a few songs. People were so shy about it. It was really weird. It was like, okay, karaoke machine, here's the list of all the songs. I mean, there was like 300 songs, so you could pick anything that you wanted to do style-wise, and nobody would get up. And I was like, all right, then I'll go first. And then after I finished the song, anybody? Nobody.
Really?
I guess I'll go second then. And I ended up doing three songs, and finally somebody said, I'll try one. And then after that, you're right, icebreaker. After that, people started to come. But it was very strange.
Yeah,
so
good times.
Thank you for doing
it. Brings
that
back memories, and I love that. Yeah, the old monsters. To me, it's the old black and white ones. Frankenstein, Dracula, werewolf, mummy.
When movies use suspense instead of gore to scare us.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of those books that were written, your Bram Stoker's Dracula, you read the books, they're way scarier than the movies, believe it or not.
True.
Because you do not want to sit and read that book alone in the dark.
Not now, not anyway. Ever.
I think next year, though, we need to record it and Facebook Live it, because it was so entertaining for me to watch. Like, I was having the best time. If you could have seen, your animation.
Oh, he was
in character. It was amazing. I loved it. And then he's pointing for the cue, go, Andy, go.
I think I was a little early on the brain thing, but that's all right. It all worked out.
It was perfect. I loved it.
Nicely done.
Well, Fred, thank you.
Was that Igor or Igor? Yeah. Frankenstein.
Yes, that's Frankenstein. Yeah. By the way, Terry Garr passed away yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was part of the Young Frankenstein cast.
Yes, I didn't hear that.
And a very funny comedic actress. I did not. One thing I didn't know about Terry Garr, I always thought her comedic actress, right? She was a dancer early in her career. She was a world class dancer. She was in the Rockettes, and she did all these amazing things as a dancer. And then she went into acting after that.
Oh, she fit the part perfectly.
So, yeah.
They were a great group over there. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I hope all of you have a happy Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And plans tonight? You're going to be answering the door with the kids with the costume on and all that stuff? Or?
No, we'll watch a movie. We'll get the treats. We'll do that. We're going to go check out the pirate ship there in Santa Clara.
Yes.
And take over there, see that.
But, if you get a minute, and they're going to do my friends are going to, they're going to do the, what do they call it? Smoke machine, fog machine.
Yes.
Or whatever, and they're going to have all kinds of cool stuff tonight. And that that spider that is on their, it's on their eave of their roof. It's probably, I would say it's 8, 9, 10 feet in diameter. Oh. I mean, it is a huge spider. That is worth the price of admission, which by the way is free, right there by itself. yeah, so if you get a minute, head over there to over there behind the mall and check that out. It's pretty awesome. So
deal.
Fred, right. Thank you, man.
Hey, we'll see you next year, Andy.
All right.
Trick or treat.
We'll be back.
Have
all right.
Foolish let's, time tonight.
Let's check weather. We'll be back after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Happy Halloween, everybody. It's 9:32 on KDXU. Today is the day when children go around begging for candy or something like that. If you're a curmudgeon, right, an old grump, you might go, yeah, there were kids coming everywhere and they're on the candy. But I think maybe, Mello, I went through that when I was, say, in my late 40s when the kids were all moving out and I didn't have any little kids in the house. And I was kind of like, I don't, you know, I'm going to answer the door and these kids want free stuff. And I've gotten over that. I'm better now. I think it's cute and fun. And you know what? That's what Halloween's supposed to be, right? Cute and fun.
Their costumes are so cute. And I just love the little ones, like when they're barely toddling around and their mom is like urging them to the door to kind of go get something and reminding them to say thank you. It's just, it's so cute. I just love it. And people are so creative with their costumes. It's really fun to see what they can come up with.
The number one costume in America, it's actually a tie. Deadpool and Wolverine are tied for number one costumes in America. Of course, that was a big blockbuster movie this summer, the Deadpool-Wolverine movie. I didn't see it. But
no, me either.
Yeah. But princesses and pirates always do well. Of course, and Power Rangers. Believe it or not, Power Rangers are still doing their thing after all these years.
Kids
are Power Rangers. So
interesting.
I have a couple of interesting facts about Halloween, non-costume related. The first of which is Harry Houdini, considered by many to be the greatest magician of all time, illusionist, I guess would be a better word for it. Supposedly, and I say supposedly, let me expound, he died on Halloween at the age of 52 in 1926.
Hmm.
Now, there have been rampant stories and wild theories about where Harry Houdini really was for the next 40 years, but until he passed away, that he didn't really die. And I just, you know, that's one of those mysteries of things. Of course, a magician would die on Halloween. I don't think he really did. So,
but where did he go? Like, they found him later and he died again?
Nobody knows. No.
Weird.
One of the stories is that he was tired of performing, took on a different identity, moved to the Midwest or whatever, and was never heard from again. That's one of the theories.
The Hollywood Witness Protection Program.
Yeah. Yeah. Not my fault. The other one, I think, this is so strange to me. In 1942, on Halloween Day, so today, 1942, so what is that, 84 years ago? 82 years ago. White Christmas by Bing Crosby was the number one song in America. White Christmas was number one on Halloween 82 years ago. To me, that is so strange. Like, what?
That makes no sense.
We complain about Mariah Carey, and, you know, well, she's thawing out now, and after Halloween, she's thawed out, and she starts singing her song. But remember, 82 years ago, White Christmas was number one on Halloween. So, yeah, I think, to me, that's a little bit unusual. Very strange.
I wonder if it was with a movie that came out before. I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, but that was actually the all-time leading selling song in America until Elton John's, what is it called? Candle in the Wind.
Oh, that Norma was
remade,
Jean.
But it was remade for Princess Diana when she died.
Oh.
That became the all-time selling song in the world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Who knew, right?
Fun fact.
Okay. There's a story online today about choosing better candy this Halloween or maybe offering alternatives to candy, like healthy things. And I'm like, dude, if you hand out vegetables, number one, kids aren't going to come to your house anymore to trick or treat. They're like, nah, no. And number two, you're probably going to get TP'd and or egged if you hand out vegetables for Halloween.
So I did see this little thing on Instagram the other night, and it was British, so it's probably British humor. But this guy had gotten like those Ferocia, I don't know how to say it, those like fancy chocolates that are wrapped in gold.
Oh, Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah. And he got Brussels sprouts. And
he wrapped that
up in there, and the mom came to his door like berating him. How dare you make my five-year-old cry? He opened it and look, it's a Brussels sprout. And he said, it's trick or treat. He got the trick.
It was a trick, yeah. Which actually, if half of them were actually the candies, then you could say, well, okay, yeah, trick or treat. But I think he did them all Brussels sprouts. So it was all treat or all trick.
I don't think anybody should alter the candy.
So, do you like Brussels sprouts, by the way?
Not really.
No, me neither. Mm-mm. Yeah. It's like eating a little mini cabbage.
I like cabbage, though, but it's just so condensed. Yeah. It's so dense.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Maybe if you had butter on it.
Okay, let's talk about ghosts a little bit. In a recent study, 60% of Americans say they believe in ghosts. In Utah, that number is actually slightly higher. 63% of Utahns believe in spirits or ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
You told me you are one of the believers, yes?
I believe in ghosts, yes.
Okay. Do you... So here's the thing, though. When you say I believe in ghosts, because I would say I believe in that there are spirits that are still walking amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make me a believer in ghosts. I do not believe a ghost can harm you. I do not believe the kind of ghost, you know, slamming doors and cutting people's throats. And I don't buy that. It's a religious thing. I don't think God would let that happen personally. But
okay, well, here's a show you need to watch.
Okay.
If you go on the Discovery, the Discovery Channel, like if I have the app, like I pay for the service of Discovery and it's like $8 a month.
Okay.
On there, there's a show called The Dead Files.
The Dead Files.
And it's very addictive and I'll watch it in spurts. Like I'll watch it and then I'm like, hey, I don't want to see these kinds of things.
You get a little scared
and
you don't
watch it. Yeah. So I'm not going to watch it.
Okay.
But literally there's a medium on there. And then there is a detective.
A medium.
A medium is somebody who can hear and speak and understand what the dead are saying. And so they...
Did you hear about the dwarf medium that was escaped from prison?
No.
It was a small medium at large. Sorry.
That was
old
good.
Joke.
Yeah. I liked it. Okay, so there's a detective, a retired detective and a medium. And somebody calls and says, I've had paranormal activity in my home. And I need it to stop so I can still live here. And so the detective goes in and researches the house and the history of the house, who's lived in the house, murders or things that have happened around the house that may have trapped spirits there. And he does his investigation. And then separately, the medium goes in at night. Of course, it has to be dark and everything's covered up.
Which never made sense to me. So ghosts only come out when it's dark? Is that...
I don't know,
okay.
But it seems...
So anyway, back
in
to
all
story.
The movies, that's what it happens.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's hide behind the chainsaws. Yeah.
Then the medium goes in and she collects information from her walk around the property. And then at the end, they present both of their findings separately to the family. And they coincide... so much.
Really?
It's frightening. And that's what kind of led me to believe that, okay, there is more than I am used to knowing about or even believing about. And I'm opening up my idea. And I have a ghost app and I can tell you more about that later. But
so I wanted to ask you, as a realtor, you sell homes in Utah. I did research on this. You do not have to disclose if something terrible has happened in that home, a murder or a suicide or whatever, you don't have to tell anybody when you're selling your home.
Don't.
There was a house in, I think it was West Jordan, where a guy killed his mother and hid her body in the crawl space or something like that. Years later, and this happened like in the 80s or 90s, I think. And so 20 years later, they put the house up for sale. It wasn't illegal to do that and not tell anybody what had happened. However, that story made headlines, so people remembered. So when the house went up for sale, everybody was like, hey, that's the murder house. You know, that's the house. And they actually took it off the market after a month or so, realizing that they were never going to be able to sell this place. But as a realtor now, if something has happened in a house, tell me your responsibility ethically. I'm not talking about legally. I'm talking about ethically.
Ethically, as a listing agent, you're representing the seller,
okay.
And you don't have to disclose anything. I did have just a house I just recently listed and have under contract. The homeowner did die in the house. I did not list that in the listing.
Now, was it like an old person who just expired? Or was
an older person who passed away after a surgery.
To me, that's not that big a deal.
But I ended up meeting the buyers that ended up buying the house at the house and showing them the house. And she directly asked me the question, did anybody die in this house? I cannot lie.
Right.
Yes, somebody did.
Well, you could lie, but you shouldn't.
I don't lie. Like, okay. if you want to ask me something that you really want to know, ask me, because I won't lie to you. Okay. I will tell you the truth. I don't lie. I will tell you.
That's good.
Yeah. No. So you don't have to tell them, and you don't want to make a property unsellable like that house in West Jordan or wherever that was somebody murdered in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So years ago, I lived over in Washington City, over kind of by the turf farms over there, and just down the street from us, maybe a block away, a guy had gone. He was, I don't know, feeling murderous, psychotic, whatever. Mm-hmm. And his wife and his son had run out into the driveway to get away from him, and he shot and killed them in the driveway.
Oh my gosh!
This was here, and people will probably remember the story. This was here. I'm going to say 20 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
The murders did not happen in the house. They happened in the driveway. And so I'm wondering what... So if you were representing the seller in this case, you knew that there had been two murders in the driveway right by the garage. I mean, it wasn't down by the street. It was right there by the house, by the garage. Is that something you just keep to yourself?
Yes.
You don't... Yeah?
Yes, you don't say. Hmm. You don't say. That's... They have a due diligence period where they can find that out and decide if that's okay with them.
So the only way they're going to find out is, number one, you have to have an honest real estate agent.
It's not honest.
No. I mean, they have to ask the real estate agent, and then the real estate agent has to be honest.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
I see what you're saying.
So, yeah. So like if you don't have to tell me, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But if I ask you, let's face it, there are people out there who will lie, say, oh, to my knowledge, I don't know. I have no idea.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There are people that will fudge the truth.
There are people that will do that.
Yeah. But so you have to assume that the agent is honest when you ask them. And I'm glad to hear that you are. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that is a trend in the real estate business.
Yeah.
But usually,
I wouldn't come in contact with a buyer. Usually I wouldn't. It's just because I happened to be at the house when they drove by and I let him in. Right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, usually that wouldn't even be a question I'd be asked.
Now, what about, something violent happened in the house, something, but you're under no responsibility to tell them. Let me ask you this, and she's answering the phone real quick, so we're going to let her answer the phone first. But what if the house is reportedly haunted, Mello? Like, you don't know of a murder. Maybe it happened in the, 1890 or something. But there have been reports of paranormal activity, a ghost or some kind of weird sounds or whatever. Do you feel an obligation to tell a buyer that? No?
You wouldn't tell a buyer that.
What if you were representing the buyer?
If I was representing the buyer, I would have to ask my broker. I think I can tell them, and I think I would tell them. But as a listing agent, you could even take the other angle and list it as a haunted house, because some people really are into that.
That's true. That actually might be. Yeah. Although we joke about it, but it's probably a very small percentage of people, though, that would really buy it because it was haunted, right?
There's a lot of people in that.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. There's a lot of people in that scene that would.
Do you think there are more people that would be interested in it because it's haunted than would scare away people who wouldn't want to look at it because it's haunted?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I don't think so. But we do have a caller on line one. I don't know if we have time to take a caller.
Yeah, let's take a call real
Barbara.
Quick. I got to get a commercial in, but Barbara, what's up?
Okay, so first of all, Fred was great. Loved it.
He's amazing.
Fred. He's amazing. Also, do you know what has happened? Either one of you know what has happened to the house up in, I believe it was Enoch, not Cedar, where
the seven, yeah.
The wife and his five kids and his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know what has happened to that house up there, what they've done with it, or
you know,
they tried to sell it?
Mello's getting on the real estate deal right now to see if she can find out more about
that.
But that's
a great question. I will look at that and let you know, Barbara. I know you. I'll let you know.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, that brings up a great question. I mean, something horrific happens in a house. And I mean, we're not talking one murder. In that house, there were, I think it was seven, right? Kids, the wife, and the mother-in-law.
Yeah, I didn't even remember about that, but I do now that she says that.
And, or maybe it was six and he killed himself making it seven. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was a horrific thing that happened. And then you go, okay, we've decided you don't have to disclose that. What about a house like, what was the lady that was torturing her kids?
Oh,
allegedly?
I actually walked through that house.
Yeah, so do you have to tell anybody that something bad has happened?
It's not disclosed, but everybody knows the house. Okay, and they know
the
story.
It was on national, it was.
Yeah, I think they ended up having to pull that listing. I know the listing agent on that, and they ended up having to pull the
listing.
And
that wasn't that like $1 million house?
No, that was like four or five million.
$4 million? Yeah.
It was an immense house.
Yeah.
I walked through that, and they had like a panic room in the basement.
Right.
And then you could walk out the panic room and go up into the garage and escape that way. There were a lot of ways to get out of that house.
Well, we're going to let Mello do some research on that Enoch house, see if you can find anything out before the end of the show. I'm going to get a commercial break in. We'll talk more about the ghosts and Utahns. Again, we are higher than the national average of believing in ghosts, but again, it depends on what level of ghosts you believe in. Monsters or whatever on Halloween, do we believe in those? Things like, say, witches with supernatural powers, werewolves, vampires, things like that. I'll talk about it when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It was about 100 years ago in what used to be kind of the hub of the state of Utah, the Rio Grande Depot in Salt Lake City. That's there on 300 West. I think it's 200 or 300 West there in Salt Lake. It was kind of the place, you know, like Grand Central Station in New York or what it was. Everybody traveled by train. That was the thing. And, it was at Rio Grande Depot that a young couple, who had, just gotten engaged, got in a tiff. They got in a little bit of a fight. And nobody knows what they were fighting about, but it got to the point where they were in public there at Rio Grande Station waiting for a train. They started yelling at each other, and she got so angry, she took off her engagement ring that he had just given her just a few weeks earlier and threw it on the tracks. And immediately after she threw her engagement ring on the tracks at the Rio Grande Station, she felt regret. She's like, oh, I didn't really mean it. I still want to marry you. I feel bad. So she went on the tracks to get the ring back, and that's when the train came.
No.
And the lady, now known as the Purple Lady, was killed by the train. And theoretically, and again, I don't know, I haven't spent any time in the Rio Grande Station, but theoretically, the legend of the Purple Lady lives on today. She still makes appearances at Rio Grande Station, which there's now a restaurant there and some tourist trap, like gift shops and stuff. And Purple Lady, especially late at night, still makes appearances occasionally to express her sorrow and displeasure at what she had done, throwing her ring on the tracks and love unrequited.
Oh, yeah. That's so sad.
It is a sad story.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have seen her. And, you know, have heard the footsteps and have heard her singing and things like that. And there are people in Salt Lake area who would swear on whoever's grave that this lady is real, that this ghost is real. So
I love it.
Yeah. Now, Utahns generally, like I said earlier, believe in ghosts. I know you're a ghost person. Mm-hmm. I do somewhat. Mm-hmm. But we're not buying into some of the other Halloween stuff. In fact, less than 25% of Utahns believe that there are witches who have actual powers. Now, don't get me wrong here. There are people who call themselves witches and do stuff and have funny recipes and stuff. But, yeah, and we're not buying that they have powers. Less than 20% believe in vampires, and less than 10% believe there are such thing as werewolves, men that turn into wolves and vice versa. So
I'm open to it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it could be.
Yeah,
I don't know why all that folklore would be around and created if there was no, little bit of truth behind it.
if you want to learn more about the Purple Lady or any, they had a handful, six or seven ghost stories in Utah. There's a website called Love to Know, LoveToKnow, lovetoknow.com, and just search on Utah ghost stories. That's how I found it.
That's awesome.
Yesterday. So you had, did you want to share your interesting story with us?
Yeah. So my mom got sick really quickly 2 years ago. She had a couple strokes and then found out it was actually cancer from a downwinder incident. And when she was dying, she was at home on hospice. My sister-in-law had this app, so I downloaded it too. And I had to pay for it. It's the ghost app. So there's one part of the screen where you can actually like look around and you can see if there's spirits in the room that like it'll show you their body, but nobody's there. So you can see where the spirits are. And then it'll say words. It's got like a voice box. And when my mom was passing away, we listened to it and it told us, it said radio. And so we were like, oh, we better turn on the radio. So we turned on the radio.
Wait, so your ghost app is telling you to turn on the radio?
It didn't tell us. It said the word.
Oh.
And we inferred.
Huh. Okay.
So then we turned on the radio. And
any particular station? It wasn't KDXU then?
It was like the, we said play music or play. My mom loved, what was it called? There was this band that she loved. So we said play that band. And so it played like that genre of music.
Okay.
And so it ended up playing like three of her favorite songs. And then on the last song, she passed away.
Wow.
Just like that. And she waited until my dad ran to the store. I don't think she wanted my dad to have that experience of her passing away. Wow. And so she passed away. And then another interesting thing that like makes me believe in spirits and afterlife is a couple days leading up to her death. We were all like sleeping in chairs, like around her, like in the Lazy Boys, you know, around her bed. And at night I could hear singing and I was like, what is that? It sounded like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, honestly, is what it sounded like. And I could start to identify some of the songs. And so I texted my sister cause I didn't want to like wake anybody else up. I'm like, can you hear that? She's like, hear what? I'm like, can you hear the singing? She's like, no, but I want to hear it. I can't hear it. What is it? And then it was kind of like tuning into a different frequency. Hmm. And then she could hear it too. And we could talk about which songs they were. And then the following day, which was the day my mom passed away, my other sister-in-law was in the room and she's kind of an agnostic. Like she doesn't really believe in anything. And she's like, will you please tell me that like the back door's opening? Cause I can hear singing.
Wow.
So you could like hear the choir like singing. Like, and it felt like it was like in the kitchen. Like we were in the living room and it felt like it was in the kitchen, like a little far off. So I don't know. It was a pretty nice experience to know that, you know, she's not alone. We're here with her. And then another feature on that ghost app is you can see.
Okay, we got 1 minute left.
Oh. Anyway, so that's the feature. There's a lot of cool things on that ghost app that are like, it'll tell you words that the spirits around you are saying, and then you can see if they're around the room. And like, when I spanned around the room, before she passed away, I could see people like sitting in the couches where nobody was sitting.
They were welcoming.
So they were waiting for her. Mm. Wow. So that was reassuring.
Amazing stuff. I think it is naive to think that there isn't stuff that we don't know about in this world. And I know there are a lot of people who say, no, it's flesh and blood. That's all there is. I had a friend who was an atheist and he was like, nope, the only thing that lives on after you die is your memory, is the memory of you. And I'm like, what a sad way to live. But
yeah.
I think there are spirits out there. I've had some personal experiences too like that where there is no other way to explain it. So, but on Halloween, I don't think they're more likely to come out on Halloween than any other day of the year. Mostly it's just about fun and giving the kids candy. If I had one piece of advice, by the way, to our trick-or-treaters is if the house is dark, porch lights are off, the house is dark, don't go banging on that door. That means one of two things. Either it's kind of a creepy place, or number two, they're out of candy. They got nothing for you anyway. So keep moving. Mello, thanks for helping out today.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you. We are out of time. I'll be back tomorrow with Open Line Friday. We'll talk to you then.